Are you ready? It's Saturday morning at Yahoo Sports Radio. Welcome to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon and powered by Insperity.
Insperity, inspiring small business performance.
The golf doctor, Charlie Epps, is in. The man who coaches PGA stud, Angel Cabrera.
Follow the golf doctor on Twitter, at the golf underscore doctor.
Doctor, the golf doctor is in on Yahoo Sports Radio right now. With Charlie Epps, here's your host from the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio. It's our very own scratch golfer, sort of.
Hey, I should have stayed home and played with myself.
John Granato.
Good morning, everybody, on a cool, wet day in Houston, Texas. I'm Charlie Epps on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring none other than Bill Harmon, who is out in Palm Springs. I'm sure it's kind of pretty out there, Bill, is it not?
Unbelievably nice. We've got perfect weather going on. Our golf courses are open, and we're up and rolling, Charlie.
And you're teaching indoors.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I do a little of both, but mostly in these days with my new teaching center that Tuff kind of built for me, so it's really, really cool.
All right, let's touch the headlines right now. There's still a lot of golf being played around the world for a lot of money. The race to Dubai, $3 million prize, I mean, all sorts of money available. And Danny Sullivan is leading at 16 under. He's won three events already this year. Quite a story. But right next to him is Rory McIlroy, who's really had a lost season because of injury. He's at 15 under. Patrick Reed, Billy, is 13 under. He's been playing overseas for a month now, and Emiliano Grillo is 12 under. So that's setting up for a good Sunday finish, Saturday, Sunday, get everything in place. The LPGA is playing for a $1 million prize at the end of their season. Na Hyahan Young, if that's pronounced right, is minus 10. The fabulous Lydia Ko, who I went out and played yesterday, and I tried to swing like her yesterday, and I couldn't do it. But she's quite a talent, minus 8. Christy Kerr, and MB Park is way back at 4 under. And here in the United States at Sea Island, Bill, the PGA Tour is wrapping up this part of the season with Kevin Chappell leading at 13 under. Freddie Jacobson, who really has been motivated by his son, who was 12 years old and had to have open-heart surgery, and he is now playing much more relaxed, and Freddie's one of the nice guys on tour. And Kevin Kisner is right there tied with him, and he's had 3 second places. So PGA Tour professional golf is winding down, but still really popular around the world. But I think the story for us this week, And I like to go to JeffShackelford.com. He's a great golf reporter and has a lot of great stories. Tiger Woods is going to be the Ryder Cup vice captain?
Well, I think it's interesting. I was told, I don't know this, but I was told that he had texted Davis Love when we were in South Korea during the President's Cup, expressing an interest on being one of Davis's vice captains. I don't know this, but this is an observation, Charlie, but one of the things that Freddie and Jay Haas did the last 4 President's Cups is they invested the veterans on the team, and would actually separate them at times from the rest of the team and bring them into a room and talk to them about pairings and strategy and things. And when I was in Australia caddying for Bill Haas at Royal Melbourne for the President's Cup, when it came time to do the pairings, the veterans on the team, I believe it was Phil and Spicker and Tiger and Furyk and maybe David Thomas, they would bring him into another room and talk about it. And as the week went on, I noticed kind of a giddy up in the players' steps. I think they liked being involved. I think they liked getting involved in the strategy of pairings and so on and so forth. And I think maybe that kind of whetted Tiger's whistle on maybe participating in this. And because I think the one thing Freddie and Jay did is they gave the players quite a bit of say in what was going on, which is unlike, I think, a lot of captains. And Davis is very open to information from what I observed. So I'm going to say, just as an observation, that I think Tiger liked it. I think Tiger liked being involved, not just playing. And so perhaps, I think the new PGA's plan on this is to have future captains be the vice captain, which I think is very important. It only took them about 30 years to figure out that's what the Europeans were doing. So when it is time for one of these guys to be a captain, they've seen how all the inner workings are going and get to know the players, and they get to see things that maybe they think work and maybe some things they think don't work.
But, you know, I can agree with that. But, when Tony Jacklin took over the Ryder Cup, it was a one-man show. It was his way or the highway. Ballesteros is the same way. But I think there's a more underlying story to this. Tiger may be realizing that his playing days are getting fewer and far between.
That I agree with. I would have to say that he probably, has had to have another back operation. So that's, two in the last few months. His third or fourth that this, his body is obviously breaking down. It's not what it used to be. And, he has to start all over once again, Charlie, to learn to swing the golf club with a new body, with, I'm sure, a lot of restrictions with his back. And you're right. I think maybe in the back of his mind, he sees it as being the end of the road, and golf has been his life. And he probably, this is a way to keep his hand in it and stay current and perhaps inspire the other players.
It's really amazing at the age of 40. What he's gone through already, and the time I've been out on tour this fall, everybody wants Tiger to come back and be part of the party and get his juices flowing, because it's a different environment when Tiger's in the field, when he's on the practice range, when he's even walking to the first tee. The players, respect him, and also the gallery is such more, is hyped up. So we'll have to wait and see what that really means to Tiger and to the future of golf. But as we move forward and we wind down, what's happening over in the race of Dubai, the European Tour? This Andy Sullivan is really for real. He's won three times this year, and he really is looking good. He's got a good smile on his face, and he's just nice and relaxed.
Well, there's a couple guys over there that we don't hear much about. Dane Willett, who was leading the British Open for a while this year, has won a few times. Sullivan's won a few times. For some reason, his name is escaping me. The young kid who won the U.S. Amateur won a big tournament at about age 20 over there recently. And Fitzpatrick, I believe his name is.
Yes. He won an event.
Charlie, you're out there more than I, but the game is incredibly global now. And you've got people playing wonderful golf all over the world. I still think the story over there is, I think the tour also is a little bit better when Rory's part of it. And I'd love to see him get his game back. And, we have a chance to put together, this Jordan Spieth and Jason Day and Rory McIlroy, maybe three of the greatest young talents, perhaps firing on all cylinders, going against each other for the next 10 years or so. And the interesting thing about it is Rory has as much firepower as Jason Day. And Jordan plays a little bit of different game. Let's say he'd be more like Gary Player, I guess, if you put him in the big three of Nicklaus, Palmer, and Player. But it would be so great to see Rory get back in form. Jason Day stay healthy, and I don't think Jordan Spieth is going away. I just think the kid just loves it too much, and he's too good.
I really agree with you there. The other kid that really impressed me this summer was Brandon Grace from South Africa. He was leading the U.S. Open, and with the last three holes, and had the unfortunate bad swing and hit it out of bounds. But the South Africans, really always put two or three good players in the world scene. And last week,
Graham McDowell.
Graham McDowell at Mayakoba, he's getting his game back, and he's working hard. And it was interesting that he really gave credit to Greg Norman, the father of the world golf. I mean, he said Greg gave him a tip about his golf swing, that it was getting too short, and complete his backswing and finish, and lo and behold, you know, he won. And so Greg Norman has his fingers still involved in golf, and I don't want to ever forget about him, because he really had a presence that was like a Ballesteros. You know, he led the world scene for almost 300 weeks. So Greg Norman, you know, I really have always liked Greg Norman. Did we lose Bill? We lost Bill, but we'll get him right back. So we're going to break right now. We'll get Bill back on the phone. This is the Charlie Ebbs Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, a company that will inspire business performance. If you want help with your small business or your business, call my good friends at Insperity. Log on to Insperity.com or dial 1-800-465-3800, and they will put you on a course to where you'll make more money and have a very successful business. Hang on, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
We are back. John Granato is with his beautiful family, having a little time off on a Saturday. I'm Charlie Epps in studio in Houston, Texas, and yahoosportsradio.com, the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, and also by the Southern Texas PGA and its mini golf professionals all over Southern Texas. And I just want to put this out to everybody to consider, those of you that live around Houston, December the 1st, Tuesday, December the 1st, there's a 10 o'clock shotgun at Cypresswood Golf Club at the Traditions Course, and it's the National Car Rental Pro-Am benefiting the Foundation for the Southern Texas PGA. It's $600 a team. If you have interest of playing as an amateur, call 832-442-2404. Talk to Kelly Gilley or log on, and this is your best bet, southerntexas.bluegolf.com. You'll find the application there. You can get your four amateurs together. We'll supply you with a pro from the Southern Texas PGA. You'll have a great, great day of golf. You get green fees. You get food. You get a gift card. And it all benefits the foundation that goes to promoting golf in Houston, Texas, San Antonio, and the Valley. So log on to SouthernTexasPGABlueGolf.com to find out more information. Well, Bill, we got you back. I was talking about Greg Norman's footprint in golf, and he's still around helping and always working and developing golf courses. I really have always admired Greg Norman.
Well, you know, there was a time, Charlie, Jay Haas says this all the time, that if you were playing in a tour event and you were teeing off in the afternoon on Thursday, and he was teeing off in the morning, he was going to be on the leaderboard when you got to the course. He was on the leaderboard almost every single week on the PGA Tour. Phenomenal player. You know, and you mentioned this, over 300 weeks as a world number one. World traveler, went all over the world. Had a lot of misfortune in some events, and some events he lost on his own. But I think what I like about that story with Graham McDowell, I think it's somewhat kind of sad. I think the older players have a lot more to offer to the younger players as far as instruction goes. I think they're the untapped resource. And I don't know whether they make so much money that they, you know, they don't really, have the interest in trying to help other players or want to learn how to teach, because, as you know, teaching is a different art than playing. But I wish more of the older players would mentor some of the younger players. You can't tell me that Craig Norman doesn't know more about golf than me, you, Chris Pomo, you know what I mean? So I wish a lot of the older players would get more involved, and maybe that's what Tiger's going to, you know, maybe do at the Ryder Cup. And you know, you mentioned Greg. When I caddied on tour, if Greg Norman or Chevy or Jack walked on the putting green or the range, your eyes locked into him for another 30 seconds.
Yes.
Tiger's the same thing when you mentioned that the players want him back. Charlie, you're out on tour all the time. If he walks on the range, I'll guarantee you watch him walk for another 10 seconds than you do any other player, because they have a certain charisma about them, and they carry themselves in a way that you just can't ignore them. They are a presence, and the tour does need Tiger Woods out there, and I'd love to see him get back and be competitive, because it would really be fun to see him and Rory and Jordan Spieth and Jason Day go at it. But as Jimmy McLean said the other night, you know, these guys are playing golf the way Tiger used to, and he's not even close to that level now. So it'll be interesting to see if Tiger can ever get back and be really competitive again.
You know, Nicklaus won at 46. Tiger's just 40, so might take him a couple years and to get back in the winner's circle, get his you know, his swing going. And at the bottom of the hour, we're going to visit with Billy Sitton about Puerto Vallarta, Bill. But one swing that I want to talk about, and I know you can't do the last segment, so in the third segment, I want to talk about Lydia Ko's golf swing at the age of 18, what she's been able to accomplish. And why girls at that age are so good at hitting the golf ball, at putting the ball, and having a capacity to she plays with a smile on her face.
You know what's fascinating to me? The two dominant players out there, Lydia Ko and Envy Parker, both relatively short hitters.
Yeah, I mean,
they're dominating. They're dominating that tour. And usually we relate domination to some length now in professional golf. But the one thing they both have in common is a hypnotic rhythm. As Dick would imitate, my brother, late brother Dick would imitate the Bobby Jones tapes, their downswing commences with no suspicion of hurry.
That's exactly right. That's exactly.
It's a fascinating. And the other thing is, Charlie, and I don't think we talk about this enough, I think they both have great nerves, Lydia.
All right, well, we're going to talk about that more at the bottom of the hour. We're going to visit with Billy Sitton from the Puerto Vallarta Pro-Am. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
We are back in studio. I am Charlie Epps, live from the studios of yahoosportsradio.com. 1560 The Game locally here in Houston. We have over 100 stations that listen to us every morning, talking golf with Bill Harmon. But right now we have on the line the author and the creator of an event that I have grown to really enjoy, take a lot of people to one of the great resorts in Mexico, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. We stay at the Casa Magna Marriott. We play three beautiful golf courses in perfect weather. And Bill Sitton, good morning.
Morning, Charlie.
Bill, I figure that we have 18 days left to your event. How many teams? Give us an update. And the one thing that I want people to realize is that Puerto Vallarta became very close in having a hurricane pass over its city, and luckily it did not happen, correct?
Yeah, it hit well south of them. They got 3 inches of rain and were open for business the next day.
Isn't that terrific? And you're open for business, correct?
Yeah, we're having a great year. We've got 85 teams signed up for the Pro-Am, and we got a record, you know, wife-girlfriend participation. We've got us about 650 people headed down to Mexico in 18 days.
Just a small little party, and it wouldn't be anything without the help of your principal, Miss Jackie Sitton. How's Jackie doing with all the arrangements?
She's doing great. She does, you know, she does a wonderful job. Starts working on this thing in July and then gets all the heavy lifting done and passes it off to me.
And there's quite a few elements to this. We have many PGA golf professionals from all over the country coming, bringing all their amateurs, and we have great competitions. But I mean, it's a fun event, but it also raises money for a charity, correct?
Yeah, I started a charity in 2000 that we raise money for, the Bill Sitton Scholarship, and we do it for underprivileged children. I think right now we've put, and I could be wrong on this, but it's close, about 41 scholarships out. The scholarship's administered by the Southern Texas PGA, and they do a great job with it.
And that's in honor of your father, correct?
Yes. Well, he passed away on the return trip from the 2000 event.
He was a great man. I enjoyed him, and he enjoyed life at its fullest. Give us a little information about the three golf courses, which you, for many years, ran because you worked for CCA.
Yeah. We opened the Marina Golf Course in 1989, which was the inaugural year of the event. It's an 18-hole Joe Finger. Really, it's a shot maker's golf course. It's not long, as you know, Charlie, but it's extremely enjoyable and penal. And then in 2000, we built a Nicklaus signature and a Weisskopf signature at the same property at Vista Viarta. Phenomenal. Completely different types. They're more a traditional resort-type golf course, you know, beautiful, big, all of that. They're up on the mountains about 5 miles above the city, overlooking the city and the Bay of Banderas. But the Nicklaus has kind of come into its own. I believe it's rated in the top five golf courses in Mexico. And we've held a senior tour event, the Blue Agave. You played in it, Charlie.
I sure did.
And then we've held a World Cup event. And I watched David Thompson, Phil Mickelson lose it on the 72nd hole. We've had numerous... we've had the intercollegiate event there that was on ESPN. We've had a number of events there. It's really, really a good golf course. As I know you can attest, Charlie, it's a good golf course.
I definitely can. And the Puerto Vallarta Pro-Am is a unique event. And I want to encourage everybody that didn't sign up this year, sign up next year, and we'll get the information out. And one last thing, Bill, give us the website and how they can get a hold of Jackie and get more information.
Well, everything is on the website. You can go to internationalproam.com or puertovallartaproam.com. All the information on the tournament is on the website, including the office number, which is to Jackie.
Well, Billy, I look forward to being with you in about 18 days. As you witnessed yesterday, I have a lot of work to do on my golf swing, but we'll get her done, and I appreciate you coming on, and we'll be in touch.
All right, Charlie, thank you, and thanks for the call.
Okay, that's Billy Sitton, the chairman of the Puerto Vallarta Pro-Am. Get all the information, log on to puertovallartaproam.com, and I guarantee you, once you go, you will go back. We've got teams that have been back for 26 years in a row. So now I'm going to turn back to my good friend Bill Harmon, talk a little golf, talk about a golf swing that I really admire, and I think the average person can really relate more to the ladies' swing than they can to the power swing on the PGA Tour, and one being an 18-year-old by the name of Lydia Ko, who's won 12 events already. She's won a major. And how does she get it done? How does she have that effortless swing, Bill? Okay. I think Bill just had to leave us. I waited a little too long. He's got to go. But one of the things, and I'll talk about Lydia Ko's swing myself, and Bob Toski, who I work with at Golf Digest, and Jim Flick, you know, they specialized in teaching the average person. What they didn't teach professionals. They taught the average businessman, the lady, the housewife, the lady professional. And we always talked about effortless power. We talked about swinging the club without any effort. So we got Billy back right now. He just dropped one more time, but we'll get it. We'll get him next week. We'll get him. Sorry, everybody. Bill had to go off and give a lesson. So having said that, go back to Lydia Cohen if you watch her on television. And what you should do is record the Golf Channel's playing of this tournament that will be on this week. And she's going to get a lot of time. And you can put it on your DVR and replay it over and over in slow motion. And just watch the beautiful motion that Lydia Cohen has with her arms, hands, wrists, and arms. You want to first train your hands, wrists, and arms to swing the club, and then that motion will help your body turn both ways. Sometimes we're trying to use our body too much. As a, you know, a professional, sure, at the PGA Tour level, they've already trained their hands, wrists, and arms. But you as 18 handicappers, 22 handicappers, 30 handicap, you've got to learn to have a good grip, like Angel Cabrera, who I teach. He has a perfect grip. And then use the swinging motion of the hands, wrists, and arms to generate your speed. That, to me, is a great philosophy on how to build a golf swing. And it's not a violent. Most of you play a nonviolent game violently. And we want to play it in slow motion and let the swing gain momentum. It's called centrifugal force. So that's the secret. We're going to come back and we're going to talk more golf. I'm going to talk about it. And we're going to talk about swing. So pay attention. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour brought to you by Insperity, a company that inspires small business performance. Log on to Insperity.com to get the information. The Southern Texas PGA and the Puerto Vallarta Pro-Am. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and YahooSportsRadio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
Okay, everybody, this is the last segment. I'm going to tell you a little golf story. I'm going to tell you how I have developed my philosophy on how to teach a golf swing. And golf teachers, we learn from the best. And I was mentioning Bob Toski and Jim Flick, unbelievable people devoted to learning how to swing the club. And when I went to work for Golf Digest, I met a gentleman by the name of Davis Love Jr. And he was working with Golf Digest at the time. And he went to University of Texas in his collegiate career. He learned from Harvey Penick. Harvey Penick was his golf coach. And that lineage really keeps promoting learning and teaching and learning and understanding what's going on. And this weekend, the story at Sea Island, Georgia, a beautiful resort over in Sea Island, Georgia, Davis Love III and his son, they played a professional golf tournament together. His dad, Davis Love Jr., who won over 20 tournaments, just won at the age of 53 last year on the PGA Tour. Quite a story. And the reason why, and I saw this young Davis Love take a lesson from his father, Davis Love Jr., Davis Love Jr., the third and then the fourth. We're at his on his backyard, and his dad was showing Dick Harmon and I how he was developing his swing. And at the age of 13, he was making his son make full swings with a 3-wood and only hit the ball 150 yards. He was more interested in developing timing and tempo and feel than worry about how hard to hit it. You learn how to hit the ball long by learning how to hit it solid and hitting it with a controlled effort. So when you go out to the practice range and work on your swing, and this is what I see in young Lydia Cohen's golf swing, who is just a fantastic young golfer, her tempo and timing is unbelievable, and she's able to hit every shot solid. That's what we have to work for, solid face contact. And you do that by swinging under control and learning to accelerate at the right times. Most of us learn to accelerate from the top of the swing, and that's not correct. You've got to have gradual momentum. As the club comes out of the backswing, you make the transition from going one direction to the other, you start off slow. And they say if as you change direction at the top of the swing, let's just use a number of 40. And then you go to 44, 45, 46, 47 miles an hour. And then all of a sudden, as the club is releasing, you go from 47 to 60. And that's just through effortless power, through centrifugal force, through the rotation of the left arm, through the squaring up of the club as you approach the golf ball. And as you approach the golf ball, let's say you're going at 80 miles an hour. As you hit the golf ball, the club continues accelerating through and into a good finish and let your body follow that motion. And as you have your weight on your left foot, you turn with the swing as you swing on the arc. So if we go back to it, here's my best description. And if you put your arms, and I'm going to do this, and I'm sitting here talking on the radio, let your arms hang down from with your shoulders. And now if you lift your shoulders up parallel to the ground, and you just let them drop, and hit your legs. That's a force called gravity. That's the most important force in a golf swing that you need to use. And you're going to notice that your arms drop real slow, but then they increase in speed. That's what I see in Lydia Ko's swing. As she makes the transition from the backswing to the downswing, she's using gravity, and she's allowing her arms to extend out in front of her, which, by the way, then the club is put on the golf ball with great extension, and the arm is rotating and swinging into a good finish. Now, golf is a visual game. There's three words that I use, and I use this with Blaine McAllister when I coached him through his professional career. Visualize, feel, and execute. You've got to visualize that club making the transition from the backswing to the downswing without being hurried. And Billy Harmon and I were just talking about that. Don't let there be a sense of hurry in changing directions. You got plenty of time, although it's going to happen with a less than a second. Most of us hurry too much when we change the direction, and we engage the right shoulder, and that pushes the club out and over the ball. How many times do you say, I come over the ball? Well, your enemy is your right shoulder. Hold the right shoulder back as your arms are dropping with the speed of gravity, 33 feet per second per second, and with your arm in the club, and you make that club go 80 miles an hour and you hit it solid, you're going to hit it 220 down the middle of the fairway. And then if you really get the feel for what you're doing, you can accelerate and get it up to 90 miles an hour. That's fast. Professional swings are, you know, they're at 120, but we'll never get there if you're an average golfer. Don't worry about it. Forget about it. Here's a good drill. It's a 135 drill. And what I mean by that, get your 5-iron, 6-iron, or 7-iron, and start out warming up correctly. It's got to take you 20 minutes to warm up correctly to start your practice. Every golf professional on the PGA Tour, they start with a physical warm-up in the trailer, getting their body loose. Then they go on the range, and they hit wedges, and they're loosening up, and they're loosening up, and they probably hit 100 balls before they go into their full swing. So you want to be able to use a three-quarter swing to warm up without any sense of hurry, without trying to hit it at all, just using gravity. Let the club drop, clip the grass, as Mr. Harvick Penick always taught us, clip the grass in front of the ball, clip it, and then swing into a little finish where you have a lot of control. I hope you all can visualize that, because to me, if you can practice that this winter, and in the winter we can't swing, you know, as full as we want because of the cold. If you live in you know, even in Houston, we're going to have days when it's 55 degrees. Learn to swing under control, especially in your practice, and that will create, you know, there's no such thing as muscle memory, but there is practice memory. Practice using gravity as the force to create speed, to hit the golf ball solid, and to have the feel for the club swinging through the hitting area, allowing it to continue on the path, which is an arc to more to the left of where the ball is going, and your body will start responding to the swinging motion of the arms. That's, to me, that's the critical thing. Jim Flick always taught me, he says, you let the swinging motion of the arms turn the body going back. Let the arms start down before the shoulders unturn, going down. Hit it softly. Learn to hit the ball softly and solid with a half swing, three-quarter swing. Learn control. And that way you won't have any accidents on the golf course. Are you following this, my good producer inside here? He's looking. You're learning your golf swing, aren't you? He's even trying to visualize it.
I am. I'm trying to visualize it. I need to get out on the golf range.
That's how. I'm going to bring you a club next week, and you can swing inside your production room in there. But that you can practice your swing indoors, and when you're indoors, you're going to be less violent.
Let me ask you this. What is one of the more common mistakes an amateur makes?
They accelerate their golf swing at the wrong time.
When is the proper time to accelerate?
Well, you start slow to create momentum.
Okay.
And you're not hitting anything in the backswing, so you start out slow. Let the club slow. Let it develop. Let it get to the top of the swing. That'll help your body turn better. And then as you change directions, don't get in a hurry.
What about a head movement?
Head movement, the head has got to stay still.
Okay.
The still, you know, the more the head can stay in place or the spine, the more you're going to be able to return to where impact is. I don't want you to keep it, you know, perfectly still, but it controls the center of the swing. And as you set up to the ball, you put your head behind the golf ball relative to where it is to your left heel. And then you start your swing, start it in slow motion. Let it come down in slow motion, clip the grass, and practice in slow motion. Davis Love did that with his son for so many years, and he went on to be one of the greats. He's won over 20 tour events, and if you watch his swing today at the age of 53, there's no sense of hurry, and he can hit the ball almost as long as he did when he was 25. So those are some tips that I hope you can go away with and start working on your golf swing. So a couple more minutes that I want to talk to you about is the PGA, Southern Texas PGA Foundation, which raises money to promote the game of golf, to help seniors, to help juniors, to help kids get in the game, play events. We raise money for scholarships, just like Billy Sitton's tournament creates money for scholarships. They monitor that, Mike Ray and the Southern Texas Board of Directors. So see if you can play in the Pro-Am December the 1st, 10 o'clock shotgun at Cypress Wood on the Tradition Course. Log on to stpga.bluegolf.com. They'll give you all the information, tell you how to register your team. If you don't have a professional, they will provide you one. And I guarantee you, you'll have a great day out in a beautiful golf course, and you'll raise money, and it'll get you started for Christmas. So we've got about 30 seconds. I want to thank Billy Harmon, Billy Sitton for being on board today. John Granato will be back with me next week. We'll talk a little more about golf. But other than that, remember, swing easy when it's breezy.